it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays, wherever you are across this great land. Last show of the week. I'm going to be out of town Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'll be back, I believe, on Tuesday of next week. Should have a lot to react to. Just to FYI, if you're wondering where I am, I'll do Outkick, Clay and Buck tomorrow, and then I am immediately out of town right after for a bunch of days. So we got a lot to talk about. Two big wins for Trump. I think the Stormy Daniels mistrial should happen. I'll analyze this from a legal perspective. Boy Scouts changed their name. It's crazy. Who should be the other, the additional next person for a sports roast? We will talk about that. The View, one of their guests, this crazy CNN dude, took a shot at me. I will respond to that. But I want to start right here. Yesterday, double big wins for Donald Trump in the lawfare against him. Couple of things. The case in South Florida that Judge Eileen Cannon is handling on classified documents, I don't think it's ever going to go to trial. It's not going to happen before November, Election Day on November 5th, I believe it is, 6 months or so from now. And I don't think it's ever going to happen, period, because I think she's going to end up tossing it before all is said and done, and Jack Smith is going to take a huge loss on that case. Also, Fannie Willis down in Georgia, if you actually look at the details surrounding that case, the Georgia Court of Appeals has agreed to review that case. Remember, they forced Nathan Wade to resign, but allowed for Fannie Willis to stay in that office prosecuting Trump in the Georgia state case. I think that thing is going to get tossed because I think Fannie Willis is going to be removed. And this is going a little bit into the legal weeds, but a big part of the decision here is what is the standard to remove a district attorney prosecuting in this case? Is it actual conflict or is it the appearance of conflict? Now, I think you can make an argument that there is an actual conflict. There clearly is an appearance of conflict. But I think the fact that the Georgia Court of Appeals is taking this case is a very bad sign for Fannie Willis. I think they are going to demand that she be removed from office. I would be very surprised if that is not the ultimate ruling that is reached in this particular case. So, what is the outcome going to end up being? I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, Fannie Willis is going to be removed. When she is removed, that means it'll take a long time for a district attorney to be seated in this case, if they ever do it. And the Georgia case, I also believe, is going to end up being covered by whatever decisions are made by the Supreme Court as it pertains to presidential immunity. And again, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but if the president has federal immunity in the Jan 6th related cases, then he clearly has state court immunity as well for presidential powers. So I think Fannie Willis is going to get removed as DA. I also think the Supreme Court decision, which is probably going to come down late June, I actually would vote for early July. When that case comes down, I think the Georgia case is effectively going to be tossed based on the way that the Supreme Court handles the hearing in that related case. So big wins for Donald Trump, and you are starting to hear a lot of legal commentators, even on the left, acknowledge that there's only one case that's going to be completed by the time people go vote, and that is going to be the case in New York City. But I want to talk about the case in New York City right now because I think there are now clear grounds for a mistrial based on Stormy Daniels' testimony yesterday and now the cross-examination that is underway and will continue on Thursday. And let me explain why. The only reason why Stormy Daniels should be allowed to testify is to try to go to what was the intent of the $130,000 payment that Michael Cohen made to her. Remember, what happened is not actually at issue here. There's no suggestion that any sort of sexual activity, to the extent it happened, is in question in any way. The only thing Stormy Daniels can testify to is how she was paid and or how her representative was paid. And maybe if you really want to extend the scope of her testimony to why she believed that testimony, why she believed that payment occurred. Although I would argue that her belief as to why the payment occurred is not germane. The only thing that she has to testify about is potentially the intent of Trump in making the payment. And maybe, if you really want to argue whether the payment was made at all, although there's no dispute that I have heard about whether the payment was made. The sex act that allegedly occurred in 2006 is well beyond the purview of anything that this jury should be hearing. It's salacious, it's scandalous, it is attention-grabbing, but it isn't actually pertinent to the case at hand. It's, again, the analogy, which is an easy one to make because the New York Court of Appeals just tossed it, is this is not dissimilar from what happened in the Harvey Weinstein case. And so if you look at this, on its face to me, Judge Merchan should have to grant the mistrial because he allowed testimony that was incredibly salacious and incredibly prejudicial and not relevant to the alleged crimes to be heard by the jury. Now, the only defense that I could think he could provide is, oh, well, the defense didn't object enough to the testimony, but the defense objected to Stormy Daniels being allowed to be a witness at all. To me, this is flagrant grounds for a mistrial. And I think the New York Court of Appeals is going to grant it, but even Judge Merchan, far left-wing judicial activist that he is, this is not even a close call. Stormy Daniels should not have been allowed to testify about what she testified to. It has no bearing on the case itself, and it's incredibly prejudicial. And again, I went back and read the testimony myself. This is a glaring, basic level failure by Judge Merchan. And I don't understand how this is not grounds for a mistrial. This should have to be tossed. I bet today, now that he's had time to reflect upon it, Merchan is starting to recognize how egregious his error is. And if I were the Trump team, I would be slamming this argument like crazy. There has to be a mistrial granted. This jury heard incredibly prejudicial testimony about a sex act that has nothing at all to do with the actual underlying crime. Remember, what they're alleging is that this was a bookkeeping misdemeanor that they elevated to a felony. If I'm pretending that I'm the trial judge and I'm trying to be as generous as possible to the prosecution and allow Stormy Daniels to testify, the judge had to give an instruction that there would be no discussion whatsoever about the alleged sexual encounter. Maybe he could even read to the jurors that there's a dispute about whether or not it happened, which clearly Trump denies. She says it did. But the only reason that this is an issue at all is whether or not there was a second crime committed, as the prosecution has alleged, because there's no dispute that the payment occurred, and what the intent of the payment was. And I don't know that Stormy Daniels can even speak to the intent of the payment on the behalf of Trump, because to my knowledge, she never spoke to Trump. So she's testifying to her impressions of why the payment was made without any tangible, direct evidence of why the payment was made. Now, her attorney could testify because he was involved in the negotiations. I believe he already has testified. Michael Cohen could testify. But Stormy Daniels can't, because everything she's being told is hearsay. And again, this is very basic stuff. I don't know how skilled Merchan is as a judge. Maybe he didn't know what the testimony was going to be, but once he allowed it to occur, this is clear grounds for a mistrial. I think this is not going to be very much different than what happened with Harvey Weinstein. I think this whole case is garbage, and I think there are many grounds to overturn its very existence, purely from a legal perspective. But this feels to me like clear grounds of a mistrial. This thing is falling apart. You've got total misfit loser failures. Stormy Daniels, Fannie Willis, Jack Smith, Alvin Bragg, they're all tripping all over themselves. And for the prosecution, if your goal is to get a conviction, how in the world did they screw this up so significantly? You don't want to be even close to the line of whether or not there should be a mistrial granted. And again, did you benefit at all from anything that Stormy Daniels said? The Stormy Daniels story has been out there for what, like 8 years? Everybody's already heard this. I'm stunned by how incompetent this is from the judge and the prosecution. And again, it appears to me that the defense has clearly objected. When the judge says you didn't object enough to it, that's not a sign that you did the right thing. This case should be tossed, in my opinion, as a lawyer, to the extent I need to say that.
Hey, look, I'm a dad. I know what dads want for Father's Day. That is steak, world-class Omaha Steaks. Dads deserve top-quality American beef, and that's what they'll get with Omaha Steaks' deluxe Father's Day gift. For just $89.99, he'll get mouth-watering Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steak burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get 4 additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Again, that's omahasteaks.com, use code OUTKICK and get deluxe Father's Day gift plus 4 free burgers today.
So earlier today on The View, a guy named Bakari Sellers, who's gotten really obsessed with me lately, I think because I've been dunking on him pretty regularly on the Twitter sphere. He's been tweeting at me. He won't announce whether or not he thinks that men should be able to compete against women. He's from South Carolina. Really good friends with Dawn Staley, evidently, triggered by the fact that we asked a successful women's basketball coach, whether there should be a man allowed to play women's basketball. I've asked him this on Twitter when he's come and tried to insult me. He won't answer the question. I would ask, you know, here you go again. Bakari, CNN Sellers, another opportunity yet again. Do you think that men should be able to play against women and win women's championships? I believe you have a daughter. What would you say to your daughter if she came to you and said, Dad, I was the best, but this boy decided he was a girl and he won a championship in women's sports? You look her in her eyes and tell her that's okay? Why will you not answer it? I got a crazy idea. I think biology's real. I'm willing to address any issue under the sun. I don't run from it. You may disagree with me. Anybody out there, variety of opinions. Give a ton of them every single day. You don't have to agree with me. Marketplace of ideas, phenomenal. You can agree to disagree. You can fire as much as you would like in my direction. Use your own forums to talk about how crazy I am, how stupid I am, what an imbecile I am. Men shouldn't be able to win women's championships. I'll say it. You won't. But he went on The View, and he said, took some shots at Tucker, and then he said, the problem is they have ads that play before and ads to play after, and you have these individuals, the Clay Travises of the world, the Ben Shapiros of the world, these people who don't necessarily have the intellect to have honest discussions, but yet they're able to become millionaires because they're actually just realizing and promulgating this fear. Yes, I'm a millionaire, humbly, actually 100 millionaire, but the reason I'm so wealthy is the exact opposite reason of what you said. It's because I'm fearless. I will go into the lion's den and I will argue exactly what I believe. So this is for the four ladies of The View, including Whoopi Goldberg, who said, yeah, when I was attacked as being, what's the quote here? Don't have the intellect to have honest discussions. To the ladies on The View, you allowed a guest to come on and basically call me stupid on air. Whoopi Goldberg, you responded, yeah, when I was called stupid by name on air. My challenge to you, you're welcome to come on, Clay and Buck, any of the four of you. I've said that for a long time. My biggest radio show in the country, I extend the offer to come on. Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, Sonny Hostin, I'm forgetting her name, Alyssa Farah Griffin. I know her a little bit. I think she likes me. Got great taste. You just allowed a guest to come on and call me stupid and say that I was too afraid to actually defend what I believe. To me, if you're going to allow those attacks to occur, I am directly responding right now and saying, I will come into your studio, I will sit down at your table, and I will answer any question you ask fearlessly, defending what I believe to you, to your live television audience, and to your live studio audience. To me, that is the opposite of being intellectually weak and being only willing to talk to people in my stupid audience that have made me wealthy. I would submit to you that the reason why OutKick is dominating and the reason why our audience continues to grow is because we have the most fearless media company in all of sports, pop culture, politics, anywhere. I don't tell anybody what they can say who is employed at OutKick. I don't try to police anybody's opinions. I tell you exactly what I think. And so The View, I am directly responding to an accusation made on your program. I will come on air. The four of you as the hosts can ask me any question. Your live audience can watch. And I will defend everything that I believe. And I think you'll see, and certainly your audience will see that the reason why my audience is so big and the reason why my income, since it was specifically referenced, is so high is because there's a desperate demand for fearless authenticity in the United States. Smart, original, funny, and authentic content wins. Sofa, and I win every single day. Speaking of fearless, Boy Scouts, not fearless. They now have changed their name to the Scouts. The Girl Scouts are still allowed to be girls. The Boy Scouts now are allowing girls to be in the Boy Scouts. And so they have changed their name to the Scouts. This is all ridiculous, okay? It's part of the attack on gender that now extends all the way down to elementary school. There are boys. There are girls. There are people who sometimes dress up like boys. I don't even have a problem with tomboys who want to be in the Boy Scouts. I think that should be allowed. I coached 10-year-old baseball, literally. The best player on our team in 10-year-old baseball was a girl. She could throw the ball harder. She could hit the ball further. This is not uncommon. When I played Little League Baseball, some girls played Little League Baseball against us. If you have a daughter and she is so skilled at baseball or softball that she wants to play at the highest possible level that she can to develop her skills to the best of her ability, I think she should be able to do it. If there's somebody out there that loves what the Boy Scouts do and they want to be a Boy Scout, I think that's fine. But don't change the name. Little League Baseball is usually for boys, but some girls play. The Boy Scouts usually for boys, but some girls, maybe they don't have a Girl Scout troop. Maybe they fit in better with the Boy Scouts. I don't have a problem with this. Now, once you hit puberty, I think it can maybe become more challenging, right? There's probably a lot of people out there that don't want girls to be able, as probably some boys would be okay with it, but in the Boy Scouts, you probably don't want to go on a camp out and have post-puberty kids sleeping in the same tent, right? Just going to toss it out there. 16-year-old girl, 16-year-old boy on a camp out, probably the Boy Scouts don't want that, all right? So at some point, I do think you probably have an age limit and you say, yeah, we can't have a boy and a girl in the same tent, right? That's a decision down the line to make. But when you're 6, 7, 8 years old, pre-puberty, I don't have a problem with it at all. But gender is real. And don't pretend to me that you're changing the name for anything other than to try to encourage people to abandon their gender identity. I don't know. When I was a kid growing up, there was something called a tomboy. That was a girl who ended up being a girl one day, but liked to run around with boys. Most of the time, those girls hit puberty and they end up being girls. In fact, some of those girls end up being the best looking girls. I don't remember it being like some major gender identity issue when I was a kid. I think people were just like, yeah, she's a girl, but she likes to run around with boys. She likes to get dirty and chase frogs, and she likes to play ball. And I don't remember this being a major cultural issue where we said, and actually she's a boy. No, she's a girl, but she likes doing boy things. That's okay. And by the way, there's probably boys. I don't know that there's a word for it when I was growing up. There's probably boys who like to be effeminate, and then they grow up and they're like, actually, yeah, I'm a guy. Or maybe you're gay or whatever. I don't care. My point is gender's real, and we got to stop changing things to try to acknowledge gender ideology in kids. Just let them be kids. Let them have fun. Finally, sports roast. OutKick's got a story up right now. I think it's a good one about where exactly about the fact that the Tom Brady roast happened and who else in the world of sports would be a good roastee. That is the person who would get roasted, made fun of. I tossed out Tiger Woods. LeBron James is too much of a wuss to do it. He would start crying if people said mean things about him. I think Charles Barkley would be incredible. Shaq would probably be great. People with senses of humor would be good. I even tossed out other members of the sports media. Stephen A. Smith, I think, could be really funny. I think Portnoy could be pretty funny at Barstool. I think that Pat McAfee could be pretty funny. I've been roasted before. A bunch of you asked. I don't know what happened to the video and the audio of me being roasted. I'm going to talk about this, I bet, with Chad Withrow and Jonathan Hutton on Hot Mic coming up in a moment. I say like a moment, like 30 or 40 minutes I'm going to be on with them. I believe it was like 2011 or 2012. We filled up Dick's Restaurant, Dick's Last Resort. They said, we want to roast Clay. They were opening on 2nd Avenue in downtown Nashville. And they were an advertiser on our Sports Talker radio show, 3HL. And they asked if one of us was willing to get roasted. And I said, I raised my hand. I said, I'll get roasted. And I got roasted. It was pretty funny. I don't know. Went on an hour and a half or something. We had a huge audience. They, you know, sold tickets to Dick's Last Resort. I believe we made a substantial donation to charity. I sat up there and people ripped me. Chris Vernon was really funny. I think Chad Withrow made jokes. My wife got up and made jokes about me. James Franklin came in and made some jokes. He was the head coach of Vanderbilt then. I don't even remember exactly all the people who got up and made jokes about me, but I remember people loved it. And I would be willing to be roasted again. What do I care? But I've got a pretty decent sense of humor. Whatever you want to say about me is fine. I'll take it. I will tell you that in the charitable, embarrassment front, a roast is way better than the other thing I did, which was get in the dunk tank. I got in the dunk tank at Sports Fest. This has probably been, 10, 12 years ago at least. That was tough. If you've never been in a dunk tank, that is brutal. First of all, the water was cold. And the room, it was indoors, was cold. It doesn't necessarily feel great the first time you go into the water, but sitting there all day in a cold room, going into the water over and over again and having to climb yourself out, it was awful. I would way rather be roasted. I don't think I'll ever get in a dunk tank again. That was miserable. That was for charity as well. And I did it again at the 104.5 Zone Sports Fest. I think there's video and pictures of that. Again, around 2011 or 2012. That was miserable. I would way rather get roasted again. I'm never getting in the dunk tank again. But I've done both those things at some point in time. So I do like the idea of building on the Tom Brady roast by adding additional roast and continuing to establish the idea being that getting roasted is okay, and that we can expand the realm of how funny and offensive the jokes are allowed to be. I think that is a good message in sports media. I would be happy to have it happen to me if necessary. All right. I love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I am Clay Travis. I will be back on Tuesday. I'm headed into East Tennessee for the weekend. Should be phenomenal. I'll do Clay and Buck tomorrow, and then I'm immediately leaving to get out of town. Appreciate all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. This has been OutKick, the show.